This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike DeTillo along with Herb Tyler. We're here at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road in Baton Rouge. Come on by and see us. Got a great crowd here already, and if you're going to the game, stop on by, get something to eat, something to drink. And if you don't have tickets, you can come in here and watch the game on all the TVs we have and get you something to drink also. Also, to Jason and everybody here, they do a great job of if you want to order something for a special event or special place that even the holidays coming up, Acme Oyster House does cater food. So give them a call here at Acme Oyster House, and Jason will take care of that. Also, we want to thank our presenting sponsor, Map Construction. We couldn't do this without them, so we want to thank Map Construction. Herb, LSU, Alabama. It is one of the games you circle when it gets announced.
Yes, sir.
That's the must-hear, must-watch, must-listen-to game. I think a little bit has been peeled off this year because Nick Saban ain't there.
Yeah.
But still, this is an elimination game. If you lose tonight, you're not getting in that top 12.
No, you're not getting in the top 12. But what I will say is this game is so important every year that they have a bye week before for both teams. And that's very, very important. Now, here's the other thing. It's always going to play at 6:30, 7 o'clock, whatever stadium they're going to play at. But tonight they're in Death Valley where the opponents' lives come to fall on deaf ears and die, baby. That's what I'm talking about. I'm excited about tonight. I'm happy Nick Saban ain't on the other side.
Me too.
What I am most happy about is the fact that we get to see our Tigers again after 2 weeks, right? We were kind of soaking in a little bit of misery after that Texas A&M game where they kind of, let's call it what it is, they fell short. They played for 3.5 quarters, and then all of a sudden they just went away. So now I'm looking at a two-week preparation time to play the Alabama Crimson Tide coming in the Tiger Stadium, and let's see exactly what's going to happen. I just think that LSU is going to be magical tonight. The stadium is going to be lit up. It's going to be electrifying. It's going to be a lot of energy, and it's going to be hard for Alabama to come in there and change that.
And you know what you got to do on offense. You got to stop Jalen Milroe. He's the straw that turns the drink there, not only as a passer but as a runner. And a lot of times, you know, when they run that little read option, you know, he's ready to pitch it.
Yep.
One thing with Jalen, when he does that, he's ready to run it. He's not too crazy about that pitch stuff. And well, so you understand it's a little bit different than what Reed did with A&M.
Absolutely. He reminds me a lot of myself. I like to fake the pitch and keep the ball myself. This kid, Jalen Milroe, has an act for being just a really tough running quarterback. If you look at the way he runs the football, he sees the field. He's not just there's a big wide opening. He's just running there. It's not that. He can see holes. He knows where to kind of be fluid with the football in his hand and run to the open space. And then he's fast. He's smart. He's strong. He's got really good size. He was my – honestly, he was my favorite player going into this year. I was thinking and hoping that he would have a breakout year because I felt like he's a guy that was one level away from being a rock star, superstar in this league.
You know what? He's the closest I see to Jaden Daniels.
He's the closest.
When it comes to season start.
I agree. And then, you know, and so he is the straw that stirs the drink, but he is also the aid for the lemon. He's the one that makes sure that lemon juice comes out just fine and is sweet as all outdoors. And so it's going to be tough for LSU. But what I will say, they had 2 weeks to prepare for it, right?
Right.
And so we're going to see it, and I think LSU will be all over the place. They're going to hold their disciplines. They're going to fill holes, and they're going to keep their quarterback rush lanes where they need to be.
You know, one of the things, and we've talked about Coach Saban, and it was always sort of a big matchup. And also, too, because you were playing for something here. We saw one time Leonard Fournette. Man, he was so close to being the Heisman winner that year.
He
who comes
nothing.
It down?
He
Derrick Henry.
That's right.
And, man, the big man rumbled that night. And every time Fournette got the ball, I could have took a team picture of the Alabama defense. Looked like all 11 were around him.
You're right.
And man, the big man rumbled, and he won the Heisman that night.
Absolutely.
He ran right past Fournette.
When you go back and you look at that kind of that game, that season, the coach, who was the coach? Les Miles, right? What did Les Miles do? We're going to run the ball 780 times a game, and we're going to throw it two, and that's it. And then everybody knew what they were doing. So what does Coach Saban have to do then at that point? Okay, we're going to crowd the line of scrimmage. We know they're going to toss sweep. We know they're going to hand the ball to Leonard on lead, and we're just going to stop them. But you're not going to see that tonight. What you're going to see tonight is you're going to see a lot of wide-open football on both sides of the
passing
field.
Passing the ball. Much more.
It's going to be all over the field. Now, one of the things that LSU has to do well tonight in order to win is find a way to run the football. Because Alabama does have a really great secondary. I say great. They're really good. They're experienced, and they have some guys that are really, really talented back there. And so Nussmeier is coming off of a time where he threw three interceptions. They were all untimely as well, and he couldn't recover from it. Let's see what happens tonight. We're going to have to be able to run the football to be able to keep our offense balanced and also to keep Alabama's defense off balance.
One of the things I've done each and every year is kind of total up, because not only is this game, you know, it was kind of coaching styles. Mm-hmm. It was Nick Saban, Les Miles, Nick Saban, Coach O,
yep.
Nick Saban, Brian Kelly. Also, too, this is a talent field. And over the last 11 years, this game is the number one yearly rivalry game to produce talent to the National Football League. In 11 years, the two teams have produced 179 draft choices. 179 in 11 years. And you know who's second? Ohio State, Michigan.
Mm, oh, okay.
154.
Wow.
Look at difference. 179 and 154 mm-hmm. in the same time period. And that goes to show you what you were watching on the field is kind of, man, you're kind of opening to the National Football League, because a lot of these guys get that opportunity. They're some of the most highly recruited players in the country.
Yep.
And we're going to get to see one tonight as a 17-year-old freshman who tilts the field in Ryan Williams at wide receiver. I've seen a lot of freshmen hit the scene. The only one, and he's different style, I remember when Julio Jones came in as a freshman.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't make quite the impact Ryan Williams did. I know Jefferson didn't.
Nope.
Jamar didn't.
Nope.
Malik Nabers didn't.
Nope.
Brian Thomas Jr. didn't. This guy, Ryan Williams, man, he's one of them that I make sure somebody else might beat me at receiver, but he ain't going to be the one. I'm going to bracket him or double coverage him on every play.
That's right. So to go back to your stats of the most, you know, NFL producing schools or game, is that not amazing to think about what LSU and Alabama have put on the field and produced
179
over the last
guys in 11 years?
That is nuts. And it's just, you know, we as SEC fans, we as LSU fans, we get used to that. And that's one of the reasons why we think every year we're going to win a championship. It's one of the reasons why we think no one can beat us. the talent level that those guys at LSU and Alabama has put on the field is just nothing less of impressive. And so when you start talking about Mr. Williams, who's a true freshman, who's making guys miss all over the field, he can catch pretty much any ball, he can run any route, he can make anybody miss at any point in time. It's spectacular, especially him doing it as a young freshman. Now, let's say this too. Freshmen now are not freshmen what they were back then.
They're not.
These guys have been he's been prepping for this time for the last 10 years, basically, doing 7-on-7s when he's 9 years old, you know, and just, you know, working out and going to different facilities and becoming a man, a young man that he is now over the last 10 years. So it's very impressive, and I'll say this, our defensive backfield is going to have their hands full with this young man tonight.
All I'm telling you is I'd make sure that if he caught it, that I got two guys right there to tackle him.
That's right. That's right. Yes, sir.
I've said this before on WWL, but I'll say it again. I'm old enough. I saw Lynn Swann at USC.
Okay.
Okay, I'm old enough. I saw Lynn.
You just turned 35. I get it. Okay.
Yeah, a few times. And that is who he reminds me
really?
of his ability to contort his body, mm-hmm. to go up for a catch.
Yep.
Okay, if it's a contested catch. And he's not the biggest cat in the world. He somehow finds a little lane, kind of tip it to himself, but it's his body contortion, his eye-hand coordination, his ability to make a leap in the air and make that catch. Now, a lot of people saw Lynn when he was with the Steelers, and he did a lot of that too.
Yep.
But I saw it early when he was at USC.
Yes, sir.
They didn't throw the ball a ton at SC at that time. Well, I wouldn't have. Not with that offensive line and them running backs
that's
they had.
Right, that's right.
But when they threw it, Lynn could make that tight catch.
You know what that is that's the ability to be aware and understanding of where you are on the football field, one, and knowing how to stay on your feet. And one of the things we used to teach our kids when we were coaching Little League at King's Grand over there on the West Bank was, you know, stay on your feet. If you can't do anything if you're on the ground. And a lot of times you'll see guys who jump and they immediately start falling
hey,
into the ground.
We saw it twice against A&M.
That's right.
Trey Dez and Chris.
That's right.
This time the jump.
Yeah, mistiming jumps and don't know how to land on their feet, things like that. And that's just awareness. That's just balance, you know, practicing and training yourself in order to be able to do spectacular things like that. And then it's also just pure talent at the end of the day. So the guy's magnificent. He's going to be tough for us to stop, but I think we have an opportunity to do so.
We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. We're live from Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. We'll be back with more of our Tiger Tailgating Show right after this break.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show, Mike Dettillo along with the legendary Herb Tyler.
Legendary.
I get an extra dollar for doing that. We had them on Perkins Road, 3535 Perkins Road, to be exact. Come on by and visit. It's got great food and drink specials here at Acme Oyster House. We got all the games up on the screen. So if you don't have a ticket for LSU, Alabama, and you want to have a great meal tonight, come on to Acme. Also, you can get something to drink. Or if you're en route, stop on by and do the exact same thing. And also, we want to thank Map Construction, our presenting sponsor. A few quick scores. Miami of Florida has lived on the edge all year long.
They sure have.
And with 6 minutes left, Georgia Tech has a 28-23 lead over the Hurricanes. And they living on the edge again today.
The rambling wreck, baby.
Man, Cam Ward just got him in for a score. So with 6 minutes left, can Georgia Tech finish it 28-23 over Miami? And Texas, with the Undertaker watching over them. I know, Coleman, you like to hear that. The Undertaker's on the sidelines, dude, watching Texas the Longhorns. 49-17 over the Florida Gators. And you might want to rethink that deal about extending Billy for another year.
That's right.
Because literally Texas hit the brakes. After they had a 35-0 lead at halftime.
Yeah, it's kind of tough. You can't really judge Billy off of this game. I mean, Texas literally are probably really truly top 1, 2, 3 teams in the country.
No question.
And Florida is somewhere around the 30.
That go to show
29.
You they ain't close.
They ain't close. That's right. That's right.
They're not close.
But they're going there with a freshman quarterback who doesn't really know. Not I say freshman, but he's a new quarterback. And they lost their guy in Legway. He's not there. So it's a tough situation.
Yeah, I peeked up and I saw they were actually interviewing. And people who keep up with wrestling, they all know who the Undertaker is. They were actually interviewing him up in the booth.
Were they really?
Yeah. And then I saw he made his way back down, down to the sidelines. Navy, after two losses, have a 28-7 lead over South Florida and Boston College with a little over a minute left, 37-31 lead over Syracuse. Herb, I think in this game that's so close, and we saw the meltdown on special teams for LSU. That is a concern for me because we hadn't seen it during the season. And then you had three faux pas happen against A&M. In a close game, you can't screw the pooch that way.
Well,
you can't do it.
Every now and then, something happens, right? And so it's to me, it was just we were trying way too hard. We're trying to be something we weren't. Trying to make plays in certain situations. You can't do that. You can't force things like that. And it's we know better than that. That's the thing. And so, but it's when you start talking about Nussmeier and the things that he did in that particular game. He's still a young quarterback, relatively, right, when it comes to actually playing the game. He's only been there for 10 games that he's actually played. And he was in a hostile environment. He's really never played in that situation before. So I'm going to give him a lot of grace in this particular situation. Now, here's what I want to see. What does he do now since that's happened? How does he learn from that? This is...
I don't put it all on them. You ain't got a running game. You've been in that spot.
I'm not putting it all on him.
No, you've been in that spot.
What I am saying, though, is that game could have broken him, and he could be done for the season. I want to see how he bounces back from that.
Yeah, I agree.
Here's the thing. Our run game has been non-existent pretty much all season except for maybe two games. So that's not anything new that we don't know. We need to figure out how we can right that ship with the run game and make it work now. Now, here's the next thing. When you go back into seeing how many drop balls there were against Texas A&M that could have been, opportunities to move the chains, keep the drive going, put us in better field goal positioning, things like that. I mean, it was so if anything could go wrong in that game, everything went wrong.
And then we saw three – special teams disasters.
Blunders, just blunders.
Across the board. My thing with Garrett is I think he's always playing with a sense of confidence about him. You can see that when you talk to him one-on-one.
Yep.
He has got that sense to him. But, man, you're putting all the burden on him. You can't run the football. And so every – you being in that spot, don't you feel as though I have to make something happen, even if it's not there?
Yes. But sometimes to have to make something is just throwing the ball away. Sometimes to have to make something is just taking a sack. Or it's running the ball and getting as much as I can. It's not making a mistake. So there's two different things. You always have to do something. Now, what is that something is the next, you know, decision. So it's very difficult for me to say here, not playing in the game, that you know, that Nuss is the worst and all this other stuff. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying, though, is I think he's one of the top quarterbacks in the country, and we don't ever see him make those kind of mistakes. It's very unlikely of him to make those mistakes. And what the coaching staff, I think, in that particular game at that moment, because remember, before all of that, before the quarterback changes, Texas A&M, the only people that were beating us was ourselves.
Exactly.
At the time. So I'm just talking that moment when Texas A&M switched quarterbacks, and then to the end of that game, we did not make any changes on offense or defense. Then we went into the half and we didn't make any halftime adjustments. We kept running the same formations, kept running the same plays. We were in the same defense the entire time. We did not make any adjustments. And you cannot do that in the SEC, especially once the other team has made all of the adjustments that they need to make. And so that's the one thing that I say that we just failed our guys at on that is in the, on the coaching aspect side of it, is the fact that we just didn't make any adjustments. We need to do that.
And even before Reed got in there, you had some difficulty stopping the running game. Their running backs, man, they were kind of chewing you up. Running the football. So it's important tonight to limit the big plays of Milroe as a runner and kind of teacup him a little bit in that pocket like a sugar rush.
Okay?
That's right. And you just bottle him in and say, if you're going to beat me throwing it, do it.
Do it.
But I'm not going to let you run around and beat me running the football.
And look, if you do run it, I want you to run up the middle where everybody's at, and
right,
we're stuffing you. And I'm fine with that. And you're right, we got to keep them in that little, what I like to call the state form hands, where you keep like that. So it for me, it's going to be tough, but it's doable. Well, I think we have a really, really good defensive line, and we got a really great linebacker in Weeks. And Greg Penn, those guys, I think we can do it. Now, it's going to be interesting to see when Alabama makes adjustments, are we going to make adjustments? Based upon the last game that I saw, we're going to have to in order for us to be successful, because they're going to make plays, and we can't allow that to deflate us. We just got to continue to work hard, play fast, play as a unit, and stop as much as we can Alabama's run game, because – I would much rather try to have Jalen Milroe beat me in a passing game than with his legs or with Alabama's run game.
Amen to that. We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettelier along with Herb Tyler right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettelier along with Herb Tyler. We're at Acme Oyster House here in Baton Rouge on Perkins Road. Come on by and visit us. I also want to thank again our presenting sponsor, Map Construction. We're going to go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line and bring in, he's the host of the game on 100.9 in Tuscaloosa, Ryan Fowler. And if you listen on Tuesday, you hear him and I together. We got a segment each Tuesday. Ryan, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Honor to be on with you, and it's just an honor to be on with WWL. This is a station that I grew up listening to, and I would take some aluminum foil and stick it around the antenna. And a little bitty country, not a lot of television stations, so it's an honor to be on, not with just you, but on this station, historic station across the great country.
Well, Ryan, looks as though Georgia Tech is going to upset Miami. Man, they lived on the edge, Ryan, all year long, and they lived on it again. They got the ball back. But on a sack and a fumble, Cam Ward coughed up the ball, and it's 28-23 with a minute 29 left. It is a third down play, but I think Miami may be out of timeout. So it looks as though the Hurricanes will go down today to Georgia Tech. And remember how the season started.
That's right.
Georgia Tech the played Florida State. And, boy, did they uncover what we've seen all year long.
The rambling wreck, baby.
That's it. Herb would like to play in that offense as quarterback. I think he could handle that deal. Ryan, tell us a little bit about the season and the fan reaction that you've got already two losses this season.
Mm-hmm.
And I told you the story Pete Jenkins told me about Nick Saban's the best fourth quarter coach I've ever seen. And how will people react when they're going to have a couple losses and lose those games late? How has been the fan reaction on 100.9? Two of them already having two losses.
I think there's a lot of things. I've tried to coach them up. I mean, you just talked about Miami and Georgia Tech. And I mean, you think about, the ramifications of that game, not just for the game, but the Heisman Trophy. You know, it could impact that. But we have chaos in college football, okay? And even LSU fans, all these fans have got to recalibrate their eyes, okay? They think, and Alabama fans have this thing that, you know, we're going to win the national title every single year. And I told them, I said, guys, y'all going to have to back off that because that's not the college football. It has nothing to do. Yes, Kalen DeBoer, there's been an adjustment, a growing period as there are with all coaches. But if Nick Saban would have been coaching, sure, that'd beat Vanderbilt. But I think adjusting to this, this is the new college football. It's chaos. It is, Mike, you and I have talked about it so many different times on Tuesday. We're now closer to the NFL than we've ever been in the world of college football. You're going to see this. And I don't know what we're going to be in store for this last 3 weeks, but buckle up. But the fans have not been happy. I mean, I can try to coach them up, but it's kind of like telling a kid not to play with his food. It's just not going to happen. I mean, I try to convince them. They're not taking it. I mean, you know, they'll come out. Alabama will struggle against Vanderbilt, and a week later they'll pick 63-3 to beat Tennessee. I mean, it's just like trying to temper their expectations. But to be fair to Alabama fans, I mean, they've won a lot of championships. So they're accustomed to winning. I just don't think that a lot of people, some, but a lot of people don't grasp what college football is now. It's just not going to have those dominant teams. Alabama, Georgia, LSU, whoever it is, it's just not going to be the real world in the current college football.
We'll update you. Georgia Tech has upset Miami of Florida 28-23. So, man, Cam Ward didn't play well today either. He got smothered with a lot of pressure, and he was inaccurate. Herb, got a question for Ryan?
Ryan, I wanted to ask you, man. So I'm looking at Alabama's schedule. Western Kentucky, USF, Wisconsin, they beat Georgia, they beat South Carolina. So those are two quality wins right there. They beat Mizzou. When I go back and I look at the schedule, a lot of things that people would say back in the past was that their schedule, you know, Alabama, they're not really playing anybody in the beginning. Do you think the first couple of games kind of gave us a false hope of what this team could potentially be? Or do you think this team is that team that beat Georgia in week four?
Struggled against even some of the opponents that you're talking about. Wisconsin, they had a great game, but South Florida, I mean, they were in a fight in that game. I mean, they were doing things to put pressure on that offensive line. But to be fair, there was also Caden Proctor was, you know, missed some time early on. The Georgia game, at this point, the first half seems to be an outlier. It's just not who they are. We haven't seen that type of explosive offense. And I'll be curious, coming off the bye week, keep in mind, Kalen DeBoer is 7-0 in his coaching career coming off of a bye week. That bye week is where they put a lot of the game and scripted a lot of the offense. I'll be curious to see, for one, I'm sure you guys have talked about it, how the weather impacts this. I mean, it looks like 100% chance of that, you know, rain in Baton Rouge. That could throw everything that you plan. You know, I'm sure there's two different scripts, but, you know, the weather being expected to be a nasty wet turf, I mean, this thing could really come down. But I think the first half against Georgia was an outlier. Now, credit to them, Georgia came back. Alabama was able to retake the lead off that Ryan Williams touchdown pass, 75 yards. But we, I think Alabama fans want to see that back, but it's just not been. It's been at times, like they played great against Missouri a couple of weeks ago. They ran the football hard, which we had not seen them run the football. I mean, they were really not a team, you know, that really, other than Jalen Milroe, was a threat to keep, you know, positive traction on the ground. But it seems like that this team has found a little bit of rhythm, but nothing like that Georgia game. I mean, that Georgia game, like I said, is an outlier.
Ryan, in watching Nick Saban's team throughout the years, I don't ever remember the secondary play this bad. Now, I get it. Graduation took away a first-round pick. The Saints have a second-round pick in Kool-Aid McKinstry. You guys lost a freshman All-American to Ohio State in the transfer portal. Got little to no depth. And Trey Amos, who's there, now he's at Ole Miss. Man, you've had a lot of losses there. For LSU, you've got to go after that secondary. As much as you want to run the ball, okay, you can run it a little bit, but I'm going to test those corners and safeties because, Ryan, to be honest, they haven't played good at all this season.
And I think you mentioned it, the youth there. The youth is simply, it's crazy. It's not just that you're asking a freshman to play corner. You're asking him to float in different positions based on the formation. You know, Mika Fitzpatrick, I'll never forget, as a true freshman, had a lot of growing pains in 2015, Alabama's championship year. I remember Hunter Renfrow tearing him up in Glendale, Arizona. And I think about how difficult Coach Saban said to play one position as a true freshman. A lot of these guys are having to play multiple positions because of the injuries, right? You got Keon Sapp. That's down, but they've fought injuries, whether it's Jalen Mbakwe, whether it's Red Morgan. Injuries have been, they were thin going into the season, but they were injured. Now, let's see what the bye week does. You know, the injury report still had Keon Sapp out, so that's a guy. But also keep in mind, you know, you've got Bray Hubbard, which is from right there at Ocean Springs, Mississippi. He was a two-time Mr. Football player. He played great against the Missouri Tigers, but to be fair, once Brady Cook went down, they really had no passing game. So it's really just not a fair judge. But the secondary has been the weakness. Coach Saban said it at SEC Media Days. He said if there is a you know, some weakness on this team, it's that secondary. And it's just simply because you're not just starting one true freshman back there. In formations, there may be three true freshmen. Now, at this point in the season, you would hope that these freshmen have now become sophomores with their playing experience, but just kind of keep an eye on that. Bray Hubbard's a really solid player that's filling in for Keon Sapp. Played good against Missouri, but like I said, really not a threat to throw the pass. Today will be the biggest challenge. Now, because LSU can't run the football with a lot of consistency, I mean, right now when you look at LSU, I think I looked it up. You and I were talking about this on Tuesday. They're the only team in the SEC that does not have 1,000 yards rushing. But the flip side of that is Alabama can't stop the run. So, I mean, they're 14th in the country, and 14th in the SEC in stopping the run. So what we think might happen could happen the other way because Alabama's just not very good at stopping the run consistently. They've done it at times, but really, when you look at stats, they don't lie to you.
Yeah, and then at the same time, too, Alabama's coming in and walking in the Death Valley night game with all the new lights, the atmosphere, the energy, all of that. And I'm going to tell you, I was telling Mike this earlier, I think LSU has to try to establish the run game. That's the only way I think that we'll be successful tonight, along with, of course, a really great passing game. So, but with that being said, do you see Alabama stopping LSU's run game when it comes to, you know, Caden Durham and his ability to run the football in the way that he has shown in past games? And behind that, can Alabama's defensive backs really keep up with, you know, the three or four guys at receiver that we have? Because we got some talent at receiver. And I say we, but LSU.
Well, I mean, look at Mason Taylor. Alabama's not faced a tight end like him either. I mean, that's another weapon because as you go through the season, there's not a tight end that's in his league that Alabama has went up against that I remember seeing that just grabbed me. So it's not just the wide receivers. It's that big tight end that got Alabama beat 2 years ago. And I think Alabama fans remember that. But they don't have, I'll be curious how they defend that. But if you look at the weather, that could be an advantage for Alabama, because LSU is such a throwing team, because it looks like it's going to be pretty heavy wind too. So something to keep an eye on. They always say that a wide receiver knows where he's going, a defensive back doesn't. So maybe that has something to do with attraction, because it looks like it's going to be a wet turf. So is this an old style, run it down your throat? Alabama, this is so odd. I mean, this is what I'm about to say is just going to blow your mind. Last year, the same offensive line, virtually the same, was a much better run blocking team. This year, they're a better pass protection team. Can't run the football. they're better pass protection than they are running the, run blocking. And it's the same, almost the same offensive line. You got to upgrade at center, but it's literally almost the same. And they can't run the football with consistency other than the Missouri game. And maybe that gives confidence to Nick Sheridan that they can actually run it.
Because of the philosophy of DeBoer versus what Saban was?
That's a yes.
yes. But, I think, and that goes back to that Missouri game, is how does that implement not just the confidence in the offensive line and the backs, but how about that Nick Sheridan? Because, we've already talked about the weakness on the secondary and the defense going up against this, great offense. When you look at it, maybe they do try to take away a few possessions by running the football. Maybe that was not just a sign for the players, but also for that coaching staff. Hey guys, we can be dedicated to running the football. And that's the thing. And coming out, how many wrinkles can they add to this offense? Because Kalen DeBoer is very brilliant on the offensive mind. We've seen Jalen Milroe kind of regress just a little bit. I mean, there was a lot of talk early on. Could he be a Heisman favorite? Could he be a front runner for the NFL draft next year? And a lot of that has faded away just with the inconsistent play. We'll see if he can get back on track. But Tiger Stadium, that crowd noise, remember now, go back to Tennessee. He struggled on the road in Knoxville. And I have voiced this to a couple of coaches on that staff. You hadn't seen anything until you go to Tiger Stadium. It is the best atmosphere right in college football. And if Tennessee rattled him, they're going to have to find a way to get him some confidence earlier. He's going to get rattled at Tiger Stadium.
Ryan, one last question for me. You got 6-2 Alabama, 6-2 LSU. Who's the better team?
Vegas. I mean, Mike and I talk about this every Tuesday. They don't build those buildings losing money. You got one right there beside you guys. I mean, they don't build those losing money. If you look at Alabama as the favorite and the way that this has driven up, it's a little bit confusing, because I thought it would be more of a pick 'em. But as the week has progressed, I mean, I see it at sports books out there about 3, 2.5. So if you take away the Tiger Stadium, which you can't, but home field advantage is worth, between 3, 3, 3.5, 4 points, you add that on a neutral field, it says Alabama's the better team. Now, you can see that, but listen, this Alabama team has been so inconsistent. I don't know which team's going to show up. Is it the team that showed up against Georgia coming off the bye week, or is it the team that, that struggled against Vanderbilt that looked like a sick puppy? Who knows? I'll say this. I wouldn't put any coin on it. I'm not going to, because I don't know which Alabama team's going to show up.
Ryan, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always a pleasure to have you on, bud. And take care. And, we always pull for you, but today I got to go the other way. I'm sorry about that. I know who signs the checks, Ryan.
no problem. I don't expect you to do that, but you guys have an awesome day. And save me some good food, because I know you guys are eating. Where you are at is good food is located.
Oh, no question about it. Acme is great. Thanks so much, Ryan. Appreciate it, buddy. That was Ryan Fowler, host of the game 100.9 in Tuscaloosa. We'll be back to finish it off here in our number one of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show right after this break.
We're finishing it up in our number one of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike, to tell you, Herb Tyler will be back right after this news break on the Big 870 WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.